For I've had enough of this world and its pleasures. I will arise and go forth to the house of my Yah. I will arise and go forth to the house of my Father. I will arise and go forth to the house of my Yah, house of my Yah.
Shalom, and welcome to today's teaching on the Hebraic roots of Christianity, where we study first century Christianity and the faith that Jesus, whose Hebrew name is Yeshua, which means salvation, taught his disciples. And now, Hebraic roots teacher Eddie Chumney of Hebraic Heritage Ministries International.
Shalom. I'm Eddie Chumney of Hebraic Heritage Ministries, and we welcome you to today's teaching on the subject, Who is the House of Jacob? This is part 3 of the series.
And when the uniting of the 12 tribes of Israel takes place, that they will, the 12 tribes, will appoint themselves one head. They will be in agreement regarding who is the Messiah of Israel. They will be in agreement, ultimately, then, that Yeshua is the Messiah. And so this is the destiny of the northern kingdom. They're going to be scattered in the nations. They're going to be cut off from the covenant by breaking the covenant and being cut off, being given the status of no mercy, not my people. But then through repentance, the offering of restoration so that they become son of the living God, a believer in Yeshua as the Messiah. And then the uniting with the southern kingdom, the brethren of the house of Judah, and declaring the Messiah of Israel. And so Yeshua, in speaking to the Pharisees in John in chapter 10, wherein John chapter 10 is Yeshua answering the question that the Pharisees ask of him in John chapter 9 in verse 40, are we blind? John chapter 10 is his answer. So speaking to the Pharisees, who is the house of Judah or the southern kingdom, he says to them, other sheep I have, in John chapter 10 verse 16, other sheep I have. I have is past present. That means before Yeshua dies on the tree, he says he has other sheepfold besides the sheepfold that he's speaking to. And who's he speaking to? The Pharisees, the house of Judah, or the southern kingdom. And he says, them I must bring. Why must he bring them? Because ultimately the prophet says that the Messiah is going to gather and unite the 12 tribes of Israel. And regarding the other sheep, it says they will hear my voice. They will believe that I am the Messiah is one way to interpret they will hear his voice. They will believe in him. And the other way is hearing his voice means ultimately in the fullness of things that they would follow his Torah. Because the phrase, hear or obey my voice, is the phrase that was spoken at Mount Sinai in Exodus in chapter 19 in verse 5, where it says, if you will obey my voice or hear my voice and keep my covenant. So obeying his voice and keeping his covenant are synonymous. Yeshua said that the other sheepfold would hear his voice. And then ultimately, Yeshua said, after they'll hear my voice, then he says, there will be one fold and one shepherd. That's the gathering, uniting of the 12 tribes of Israel. So what Yeshua said in John chapter 10, verse 16 is parallel with Hosea chapter 1, verse 10 and verse 11. But Yeshua then explains that before there can be one fold and one shepherd, that he's going to, John chapter 10, verse 17, lay down his life. And now we see in Psalm in chapter 80, this prophecy, Psalm chapter 80, verse 1, give ear, O shepherd of Israel. Who's the shepherd of Israel? It's a reference to the Messiah. You that lead Joseph like a flock. So the prophecy that the shepherd of Israel would be leading Joseph, that is the northern kingdom, like a flock. That corporately speaking, it would be Joseph who would believe that Yeshua is the Messiah, and they would be following him long before Judah as a corporate people would do so. And so Messiah's family, back to Mount Sinai, is the literal house of Jacob, but his family that believes on him is his redeemed or his saved family. That's also called the house of Jacob. Luke chapter 1, verse 31, these words are said, "And behold, ye shall conceive in your womb, bring forth a son," referring to Mary, "and shall call his name Yeshua. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." So Yeshua is ruling and reigning over a redeemed house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. That the name of Messiah's covenant family is the house of Jacob. Now, the literal house of Jacob is likened to an olive tree in Jeremiah chapter 11, verses 16 and 17. It is written, "The Lord called your name a green olive tree." Who is this green olive tree? The end of verse 17 of Jeremiah chapter 11, it says, "The house of Israel and the house of Judah." And then it says in Jeremiah chapter 11, verse 16, at the end of the verse, that the branches of this olive tree are broken. What caused them to be broken? They broke the covenant at Mount Sinai. So the literal house of Jacob is likened to an olive tree whose branches are broken. This olive tree is defined as the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Well, how are the broken branches going to be mended or restored? It's going to be through the redemptive work of the Messiah. And this is what Paul explains in Romans in chapter 11. Reviewing what we're told in Jeremiah chapter 11, verses 16 and 17, that this green olive tree represents a literal house of Jacob, consisting of the literal house of Israel and the literal house of Judah. Romans chapter 11 is talking about a restored olive tree through the redemptive work of the Messiah. The Messiah is the root of the tree. He's the root and the offspring of David. He is the bright and the morning star, as we're told in Revelation in chapter 22 and verse 16. And this olive tree that Paul speaks of as being restored through Messiah in Romans in chapter 11 consists of wild branches, Romans chapter 11, verse 17, that are grafted in, and natural branches, when they believe, are grafted into their own olive tree. I want us to understand that in Romans chapter 11, Paul explains that both the wild branches and the natural branches, in believing that Yeshua is the Messiah, that both are grafted in. Romans chapter 11, verse 17 explains that the wild branches are grafted in. And if some of the branches be broken off, and you being a wild olive tree was grafted in among them. And then Romans chapter 11, verse 24, it explains that the natural branches, when they believe, are grafted into their own olive tree. It says, "If you were cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and you were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree?" Next, we need to understand that the new covenant, or more correctly understood, the renewed covenant, was only made with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. We're told about this in Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 31. "Behold, the days come, says the Lord, that I will make a new covenant." In Hebrew, you can read it, renewed covenant, "with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah." Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 31 is quoted in Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 8, where it says, "And finding fault with them, he said, Behold, the days come, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah." Romans in chapter 11 is describing a redeemed house of Jacob, consisting of the redeemed house of Israel, a term for the northern kingdom, and the redeemed house of Judah, a term for the southern kingdom. Next, we want to understand the redeemed house of Israel. And we want to understand, how do those from the nations who may not be physically descended from the 12 tribes, how do they become a part of Messiah's new covenant family known as the house of Jacob? The answer is, when they believe that Yeshua is Messiah, they are adopted, or they are grafted in. And then in describing the branches of Messiah's family, it's got two primary branches. Messiah's family consists of Jewish believers and non-Jewish believers. And what's the name of the Jewish branch of the believers in Yeshua as Messiah? They are the redeemed or the saved house of Judah. And what do we call the redeemed or the saved house of Israel? They are Ephraim. They are referred to as the 10 tribes. And non-Jews from the nations who believe that Yeshua is the Messiah, what's the name of the branch of Messiah's family that refers to non-Jewish believers? It's the house of Israel. So if we look at the redeemed house of Jacob, those that believe that Yeshua is the Messiah, and look at the non-Jewish side of the family, who belongs to the non-Jewish side of the family? Well, who belongs to the non-Jewish side of the family are physical descendants of the northern kingdom or the 10 tribes who believe that Yeshua is the Messiah, fulfilling the prophecy of Hosea chapter 1 and verse 10, as it is associated with John chapter 1 and verse 12. And it also consists of those who are not physically descended from the northern kingdom. So let's look at this. Who are the redeemed house of Israel or the non-Jews? They consist of two groups of this branch of Messiah's family. They consist of non-Jews who are physically descended from the northern kingdom and non-Jews who are not physically descended from the northern kingdom, but are of those from the nations. Now, on an individual basis, would an individual non-Jew know if they are physically descended from the northern kingdom or whether they are physically descended from the nations? The answer is no, because on an individual basis, we don't have the documentation of who our ancestors are going clear back 2,700 years. So when we're talking about the general classification, we know that the general classification does refer to non-Jews who are physically descended from the 10 tribes, but it also consists of non-Jews who are physically descended from the nations. Once again, on an individual basis, though, we would not know. So why on an individual basis would we not know if we are physically descended from the northern kingdom? Well, first of all, like I just said, we don't have our genealogy records, but also in Messiah, it doesn't matter, because in 1 Chronicles chapter 5 in verse 1, it says that the sons of Reuben, the firstborn of Israel, that he was the firstborn, but for as much as he defiled his father's bed, his birthright was given to the sons of Joseph, the sons of Israel. And look at this. In genealogy, is not to be reckoned after the birthright. And so those who believe that Yeshua is the Messiah, they are a firstborn family in him. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 23. It says, you've come to the general assembly in church or the congregation in Messiah of the firstborn. Now, let's look at the situation with the literal house of Jacob, that is, physical descendants of those who were at Mount Sinai. Do they believe that Yeshua is the Messiah? Well, there are some physical descendants of the house of Jacob that believe that Yeshua is the Messiah, but there are those that don't believe that Yeshua is the Messiah. And in expressing in our minds, for the sake of argument, physical descendants of the house of Jacob as being Jews, because we can identify who are Jews today, most Jews don't believe that Yeshua is the Messiah. And so let's look at those who do believe that Yeshua is the Messiah, his redeemed or his saved family, biblically called in Luke chapter 1, verse 33, the house of Jacob. Do they believe that they should follow the Torah? Do they understand that he gave the Torah at Mount Sinai? Do they understand when he said in John 14, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments? It's referring to following the Torah. Well, there are some believers in Yeshua as Messiah that do believe and do understand that they are to express their faith in him after they're saved by grace through faith, by loving him and keeping his commandments or following his Torah. But most believers in Yeshua as Messiah do not understand this and don't understand that Yeshua gave the Torah at Mount Sinai, and loving him and keeping his commandments is following his Torah. So in reviewing this, today, the house of Jacob is divided. divided, because most of the literal house of Jacob being personified in our example by the Jewish people don't believe that Yeshua is the Messiah, but most of the redeemed house of Jacob in our example being personified as all believers in Yeshua as the Messiah don't believe that they should express their faith in him by following the Torah. And so as a result of this situation, prophetically, this causes the God of Israel to send forth the ministry of Elijah. And what is the ministry of Elijah? It consists of the pointing out to the people of the God of Israel where and how they departed from the Torah and calling them back to following the Torah. In Malachi chapter 4, verse 4, it says, "Remember the Torah of Moses, my servant," the subject being remember the Torah of Moses. And then in verse 5, it says, "Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet." Why is Elijah the prophet being sent? With the message of remember the Torah of Moses. And so Elijah's ministry is not only going to call the people of the God of Israel to follow the Torah of the God of Israel, showing them where and how they've departed from the Torah, but Elijah's ministry is going to also consist of preparing Messiah's bride for his coming. In Isaiah in chapter 40, we're told about the message of Elijah, where in Isaiah chapter 40 in verse 3, it says, "The voice of him that cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God." And so we're to prepare the way of the Lord and make straight in the desert a highway for our God. And so this is a part of preparing the bride. Now, John the Immerser, or John the Baptist, who we're told in Luke chapter 1 and verse 17, his ministry was of the Spirit and the power of Elijah, that John's message, we're told in Matthew in chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, it says, "In those days came John the Immerser, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And it says, This is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness," quoting from Isaiah chapter 40 in verse 3. And so John himself, being of the Spirit and the power of Elijah, said that he and his ministry is that of being one of the two witnesses in a biblical wedding, known as the friends of the bridegroom. And in John, in chapter 3, in verse 28, John, Yochanan the Immerser, says, "You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I'm not the Messiah, but that I am sent before him. He that has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which stands and hears him, rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's joy. This my joy therefore is fulfilled." And so part of the Elijah ministry is to prepare the bride. Now, if we go back to Isaiah in chapter 40, Isaiah chapter 40, another part of Elijah's ministry is to prepare the people of God for Messiah gathering and uniting the 12 tribes of Israel. So after it says in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3, "The voice of him that cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord," goes on to say in verse 11, speaking of the Messiah, "He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom." And so this is all a part of Elijah's ministry, which is sent before the revealing of the Messiah for the purpose of bringing restoration, because the covenant family of the Messiah, the house of Jacob, we have those that's not following the Torah. We have those that don't believe that Yeshua is the Messiah. We have those that believe he's the Messiah, but they're not following his Torah. And so ultimately, then, through Elijah's ministry, we have the fulfillment of the prophecy of Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 15 through 28. That is the role of the Messiah to gather and unite the 12 tribes of Israel. And the end result is Messiah ruling over the house of Jacob, where they declare him as their head, Hosea chapter 1 and verse 11, and he has gathered in uniting the 12 tribes of Israel. And in gathering and uniting the 12 tribes of Israel, he comes for his bride, sets his feet down on the Mount of Olives. His bride rules and reigns with him as a king and a priest, Revelation chapter 5 and verse 10, teaching the Torah to all nations from Jerusalem, Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 3. So then we have the prophecy of Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 16. Son of man, take one stick, and the word stick in Hebrew is eighth, which means tree. Take one tree and write upon it for Judah, for the children of Israel, his companions. Take another eighth or tree and write upon it for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, for all the house of Israel, his companions. So Ezekiel is being told to take two trees, and then in verse 17, join them one to another into one stick or one tree. Biblically speaking, what would be the name of this tree? Of course, it would be an olive tree, as Paul was explaining in Romans in chapter 11. So take the two, make them one, and they will become one in your hand. And ultimately, in this process, the exiles of Israel, the dispersed of Northern Kingdom, Southern Kingdom, will be brought back to the land of Israel by the Messiah during the tribulation to fulfill Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 22. And I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel. The mountains of Israel refers to Judea and Samaria. The world calls it the West Bank. And the mountains of Israel includes Jerusalem, which is surrounded by mountains. And one king will be king to them all. They will no more be two nations, neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms anymore. There will no longer be a separation of Northern Kingdom and Southern Kingdom, that they will be a united house of Jacob. And it's a united house of Jacob that the Messiah is going to rule and reign over, and they will know that he is the Messiah of Israel, and they will be following his Torah. Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 24, and David, my servant, will be king over them. They will have one shepherd, and they will walk in my judgments, observe my statutes, and do them. So this teaching was to help you understand who is the house of Jacob. The house of Jacob is a term for the covenant family of the God of Israel. It's a term for the covenant family of Yeshua the Messiah. He is in covenant relationship with the house of Jacob. And at Mount Sinai, Yeshua is in covenant relationship with the literal house of Jacob. And the name of his covenant family that believes that he's the Messiah and receives his shed blood for the forgiveness of their sins, enters into a new or a renewed covenant relationship with him. The name of that family also is the house of Jacob, or you might think of it as the redeemed or the saved house of Jacob. Luke chapter 1 in verse 33. That the literal house of Jacob is likened to an olive tree. Jeremiah chapter 11, verses 16 and 17. The redeemed or the saved house of Jacob is also likened to an olive tree. Romans in chapter 11. Well, I pray that this teaching helps you to understand the name of Messiah's family. That is the house of Jacob. And when you know the name of his family, it helps you to better understand who you are and how you are to express your faith in him, and it helps you to understand the Bible better. Now, remember always these words from 1 John in chapter 2 in verse 6. He who says he abides in him, he who says he's a believer in Yeshua as the Messiah ought himself to walk. That means to live our lives even as he walked. How did Yeshua walk? How did he live his life? He obeyed the commandments of his Father. Even so, he instructed those who believe on him in John chapter 14, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Shalom in Yeshua the Messiah. Amen.
Well, that's going to conclude part 3 of the series on the subject, who is the house of Jacob? Shalom in Yeshua the Messiah. Amen.
Thank you, Eddie. This is Stephen Morgan, and all of us here at Hebraic Heritage Ministries pray that you have enjoyed today's teaching. If you've been blessed, will you help us to share this message with others? Hebraic Heritage Ministries is supported by your generous financial gifts. In order to help you in your studies and to help us share this message with others, we are offering today the DVD, Yeshua the Lawgiver, for free for a love gift of any amount to the ministry. Hebraic Heritage Ministries also offers a monthly discipleship program. If you are interested in starting a fellowship group in your area, let us know. We would like to help you. Please contact us for more details. Our website is hebroots.org. That's HEBROOTS.ORG. We would like to hear from you. Please send us an email. Finally, in order to take advantage of today's free offer, please mention this product offer and please mail your love gift to Hebraic Heritage Ministries, P.O. Box 81, Strasburg, that's Strasburg, Ohio, 44680. Until next time, may Yeshua richly bless you.